Hello, friends, and welcome to our podcast, The Whole Life Project. This is episode number 2. This is a health and wellness podcast. We're going to talk about running tonight. I'm Luke Ankeny, and I'm here with my wife and co-host, Heidi.
Hi.
And we're grateful that you stopped by for a listen and or a watch, depending on how you consume your podcast. So, like we said in episode number 1, we're going to talk about things that kind of make up a whole life and why that's important. And we said we would talk about 3 main categories: faith, family, and health and wellness. So tonight, health and wellness, talking about running. Heidi, you and I are both quote unquote runners.
Runners.
Mine tends to be more of a plod nowadays. But
you're getting to a jog, though.
I'm getting a little closer.
You're
Yeah. Let's start off maybe by sharing some of our stories of running. What first got you excited about or tuned in to running, turned on to running?
I've been running for a long time. When I was in elementary school was the first time I really started loving it, because we did those field days at the end of the school year where everybody would go outside and you'd do like the parachute and the relay races and all the obstacle courses and stuff. And I used to, like, it was 3rd or 4th grade. I remember beating all the boys in the sprints, whatever, however far they had us sprinting. It was probably like 40 meters or something. I don't know. But I just was super excited because I was faster than all the boys in my class and in my grade. And I got first place, and I went home and I told my dad that I wanted to be in the Olympics.
Did you get blue ribbons?
Yes, I'm sure we did. I don't remember, but I'm sure we did. So that's where it kind of started for me. I did, once I got into sports, like middle school, 7th grade when we can start, I started with cross country and track. And track really became my thing. I didn't love distance running when I was a kid, but I did it just to stay in shape and because all my friends were there. But I was a sprinter. So I did the 200 and the 400 and relays, and did that all through high school, all through college. And then after college and kids, it kind of turned into more distance running for me because I don't know, I just felt like I was old and I didn't want to go to the track and run sprints just on my own. That's not enjoyable.
Just to do it.
Yeah. So I just kind of reverted back to that cross country distance running.
More of a distance.
Just conditioning. Yeah. Yeah. And I've done a lot of road races now as an adult. So I really enjoy it now, actually. I unlike when I was in school, I really like distance running now. It's kind of my peaceful time.
So I think when you're a kid, you just kind of run as something you do. Mm-hmm. And then as adults, we get out of that. But I remember the elementary school field days as well. And I remember when I was younger, like for 2nd, 3rd, 4th grade, I was actually pretty quick and I would win or get close to the top. And then I started growing. And between like 6th grade and freshman year of high school, I was probably one of the slower kids out there. My legs were all messed up and just grew a lot. Grew from 5-whatever to 6'4".
But then, gangly and
yeah, and my like my freshman year, I did track all through that whole time, and I don't know why, because I was terrible at running, but I still did it.
Didn't you jump too?
Well, my freshman year, I was a jumper. I did triple jump and long jump, and I didn't go very far.
I wouldn't think so. You couldn't run.
Yeah, it was bad. But then my sophomore year, it was a meet over spring break, and I knew I had kind of gotten more coordinated and my speed was back because of football and basketball. And so they needed help on a relay team, and I jumped in there and I was fast again.
Just like that.
Just like that. So then I did sprints all throughout high school and college. The longest race I did in college was an 800 meter run. But in high school, my senior year, I stopped playing football and I did run cross country. And I don't know that I fell in love with distance running then, but it got me in shape for basketball. But I do remember in college, I would go out like on Sunday afternoons and just go for jogs around town. And that was something I enjoyed.
Why did you do the 800? That was not for competition.
I was rehabbing after an injury, and I had to do the 800 before they let me run the 400. So I told the coach, Coach Guzman, I said, well, I'm going to win the first lap, and then I'm going to come in last. And he didn't believe me, so I ran and led the first lap, and then as soon as lap two started, I moved from lane one to lane two and let everyone pass me, and then I came in last, and the coaches weren't too happy with me.
I don't remember seeing that race.
It was at Lewis and Clark in Portland. I remember it was a nice, rainy Portland day. So as adults then, you mentioned some of what your running has been as an adult. Do you want to elaborate any on that?
I just do it because it's good for my head. It's good thinking time, or it's good not thinking time, like just go and be quiet. It's good prayer time for me. Yeah.
And what kind of races have you done?
But yeah, I do like doing races. I've done 5Ks up through half marathons. So 5Ks.
Do you have any desire to do more than a half marathon?
I have zero desire to do a full marathon at all. I really, even right now, I'm kind of at a point where I don't know that I want to do any more half marathons.
Like 10K.
I love the 5K, 10K distance. Yeah. Yeah.
What else besides like prayer time, clearing your head, anything else in that regards?
It just makes me feel good, you know, runner's high.
Yeah.
I guess. I don't know. It just makes me feel more.
If you're going to get high,
alive,
get a runner's high.
Right. More. That's just my thing. Yeah. I don't know how else to explain it.
Yeah.
It's just what I do. I don't know if you wanted to talk about this later,
I do.
But my injury, the lessons I learned. So I've always just said I'm a runner and I don't do anything else and I don't like doing anything else. It's what I've always done. And recently, like over the last 6 months, you've seen this. I've had plantar fasciitis and
it's just not fun at all.
No, it's kept me from running for just about 6 months and like super painful so that I couldn't hardly even get out of the bed or get up off the couch and walk on it. But I've learned in that time of like trying to fix my foot so that I could run again, that I actually really love lifting weights and I love walking, and those have become kind of part of my routine. And now I feel like I can add running back in. I am running again. I feel like I can add that in and it's a piece of it, but running isn't all that I do now.
Right.
And I like that.
Yeah. So I can relate to that because I've had some injuries as well that have kept me from running and don't get as excited about the other types of exercises that are out there. I enjoy lifting weights, and I think I would play more basketball, but the problem with basketball is that in my head I still think I can do what I did when I was younger.
Because basketball was your thing.
Right. Like, and I still think like I can make a baseline spin move and it's going to work and it doesn't work.
And you would throw your back out or something.
And then I get mad. But with running, it's the same. I'm just slower. And that's okay. You can be slower and get out there. But I've done, 5Ks, 10Ks. I really do like the 10K distance. That's a fun distance. And then a half marathon. And then I did a marathon about 5 years ago. That's a whole nother.
Is that not a story for now?
That's not a story for now. Okay. That's maybe I'll get into it, but that's a lot to unwrap there.
Yeah.
But it's been funny. Like I'll train for a race and then I stop running and then I pick up another race and I run. I need to get more into the habit of just running because it's good for me. Because that's something I've noticed as well. Like I'm just a much better person when I run, as opposed to doing other exercises, HIIT workouts, lifting. I like all that stuff, but
it's good for your head.
It's just good for my head to go out and
keeps
run.
Keeps your headspace in a good place when you run.
Yeah. I mean, a counselor told me years ago I would just save a ton of money on therapy if I would just exercise. And it's true. I mean, the running, I know I can think through stuff. I can, think through scenarios I'm dealing with, whether at work or personal stuff or whatever it is. And it just,
but you still, for some reason, cycle with it.
I know.
And I think that's like a human thing. Like probably. You're really good at it for a while and then you stop for however many months.
Well, I know sometimes when you're doing like a 12-week training program for a half marathon, your body just gets a little beat up. So you rest and then you get out of practice.
Yeah.
Some running stories that I thought of, and maybe you have some as well, kind of funny running stories.
I have a funny running story. Okay, go ahead.
Well, we often don't get to run together. And a few reasons. One is Heidi's faster than I am, and so I slow her down. When I try to stay up with her, and it kills me. But oftentimes we would run like one, especially when the kids were little, when our boys were little, we'd run like one, the same loop. Like Heidi would go first and then I'd go and I'd say, you know, were there any dogs on that loop? Oh no, there were no dogs today. And then I'd go run that loop and there would be like a mammoth horse dog that chases me. And so it just got to be a thing. Like
I would never see dogs.
Heidi would never see dogs on runs. I'd go on this run and like there was one property, like I knew where the entrance to the property was, and I knew if I saw the dog, how fast I would have to sprint to get past the driveway before the dog would come after me. But on one such occasion, I was right by my house. I turned off the main road and was going down the side street to our house, and this car's driving down the road towards me, and I see a blur in the front of the car, and this little dog actually jumps out of a moving vehicle out of the front window and chased me down the road. And so I had to stop and help the owner get this dog. There's just something. I mean, a little Chihuahua chased me the other night. When
you always get chased by dogs.
That's kind of a funny running stories with me.
Funny.
So I got to where when I was out in the country, I would just carry rocks in my pockets to throw at the dogs if they came after me.
Well, that was actually the one I was thinking of. Okay. It wasn't my funny story, but do I have any funny stories?
I have another one.
Chased by dogs, I don't get.
Yeah, you don't get chased by dogs.
People don't get in my way. I know what story. There are other funny
stories. You fell down once doing handoffs or something.
Yeah, that's kind of a funny story. So,
I mean, it's not distance running, but it's.
No, but it's still running.
Yeah.
Track is not a contact sport, and so you don't typically get hurt like in basketball or football, where you get concussions and you get broken things. And
right. You don't get concussions in track normally.
Normally.
Yeah.
But one year I was practicing 4x1 relay handoffs and I was the incoming runner. And as I was heading like full on sprint heading towards my, my teammate that I was going to hand off to, our coach was like, we were on the straight stretch and he was at like the 50-meter line and he was talking to somebody on the infield at the pole vault. And he had this rule where if somebody was in your lane when we were running, we were supposed to yell track. So I yelled track because the coach was like kind of in my way. And instead of stepping forward to be fully out of my lane, he stepped backwards. He didn't really look. He stepped backwards and was just like smack in front of me. And I just plowed right into the coach and fell down and hit my head on the track, and I got a concussion.
Right.
I did.
See, I would just feel track and then plow through whoever was in my way.
Well, that's what I did, but I bounced off of him and fell and hit my head. That's funny.
That's a funny story. So the other night I was out for a run, and I had the dog, Harper, with me. She can go like 3-4 miles. That's about her limit. But you know, it's a nice walking path through our neighborhood, and a lot of people are always out, and we were going whichever way, we're on the right side and we were heading east, northeast, doesn't really matter the direction we were going. We were on the right side of the path, and we had there was a family coming towards us, a family of 5 or 6 on bikes. The dad was in the front, the mom was in the back, and I heard the dad yell, "Get to the right." And our dog doesn't really like people on bikes. So I made sure I was way over to the right. So she wouldn't chase the little kids on the bikes. And, you know, they got out of our way. We got out of their way and it was fine. Well, then we kept going and I see this older lady walking towards me. And you know, late 60s, early 70s, probably going for her nightly walk. And she was on her phone. And I didn't really want to run in the grass. So I was like all the way over to the right. And I'm watching this lady just walking on her phone. And she's swerving, keeps swerving. She's like in the middle and then pulling.
Because she wasn't looking.
Because she wasn't looking. She was just staring at her phone. And so I decided, maybe not the best solution, I decided I wasn't going to move.
You're a little passive aggressive.
A little bit. And she got, now mind you, one time I was looking at my phone when we were at a museum in Washington, D.C. and I ran smack into a wall. Because I was looking up something about dinner, the museum, I don't remember. Right. So I acknowledge my own humanity and weakness. But so this lady, I was like, she is not going to see me. So we get pretty close to her and I just yelled, not looking. And she stopped and screamed and just stood right in the middle of the sidewalk right in my way. So then I did have to go around her. And she yelled that she was sorry. But, you know, I just thought it was funny that it was an older lady that was so engrossed in her phone and what she was doing.
Instead of a teenager.
Yeah, instead of a teenager. Or
young adult.
Something like that. And my one pet peeve I do have is, you know, we used to live out in the country and we'd just run country roads, no sidewalks. But now it's sidewalks, but it's going through subdivisions. And so there's a lot of cars that pull out and there's crosswalks.
Oh, see, this happens to you all the time.
This happens to me all the time.
It doesn't happen to me.
People pull their car into the crosswalk when I'm trying to run. And a lot of times when it's like, I'm right there. And one night I was on one side of the street and another guy was on the other side of the street. He was walking and there was no cars in my crosswalk that night, but I looked over at him and he had the walk sign and he started walking and a car pulled up right into the crosswalk and he stood there and yelled at the car and the driver and made it back up so he could cross. But I've gotten to where I tend to say something.
Or slap the car.
Or I hit the car.
Yeah.
Which is kind of fun for
I
me.
I haven't ever had that probably, happen.
Yeah, you've never had that happen. It happens to me all the time.
You're a big guy. I don't know how people don't see
I know.
You.
I have a headlight on a lot if it's nighttime.
And your vest.
My vest. It's reflecting. Yeah, I don't know. And we might have some more running stories as we go. So track and cross country turned into old people distance running and finding races and stuff like that, which we'll talk about more. Later as well. So why running and thinking specifically of, you know, long distance running, we did talk about like masters track. I don't know that I mentioned masters track. Like there are opportunities to keep sprinting.
Yeah.
But they're kind of few and far between. Like two summers ago, I did a masters 100.
It was still pretty fast.
And there was a kid that was in college because it was like, out of high school and over was in the master's division. And so there was like a kid that's still currently running. I looked, he won the 400. He runs at Eastern Oregon. He won the 400 at the Cascade Conference track and field meet. So I was in with that guy who's running like a 10.7. And then the guy that was...
And you were like 45. 46
years
old.
I was 46 years old and I ran a 12.5, which I thought was pretty good.
Yeah.
And then I tried to run the 200 and I took three steps and I thought my hammy was going to go, so I stopped. So thinking specifically about distance running.
Okay.
And while we lead up to that, and this idea of living a whole life and making sure you have a foundation, and why not just running, but why is exercise so important to that?
Well, I think there's a lot that you could say about that. What comes to mind first is if we aren't doing some form of exercise, we are not, or movement, we aren't going to be our healthiest, and you can't live your fullest, most complete life. You're going to feel like crap, you know, you put on weight, you age faster, all those things. But I think the other thing too is that God made our bodies to move.
Yeah.
And a conversation that I've had with our youngest, who is he runs track in college right now, is using that movement as a worship. We've talked with him about that. And I think that can be something that glorifies God, is exercising.
Sure.
And it can be a prayer time. It's good for your mental health. Like, I just think there's so much for us running, but exercise in general, that contributes to your whole health, your complete health.
And what could you maybe go a little more into what happens to our bodies if we don't exercise? Like if we don't get that movement. I mean, I can think of just as much simple as like muscle deterioration.
Sure.
Yeah. Lack of strength.
Yeah. It can impact your blood sugar.
Yeah.
Your metabolism so that you can have a lot more of the highs and lows, and your blood sugar is harder to regulate if you are sedentary. And that leads to all sorts of things. It's just a cascade effect of health issues.
Well, what about mental illness?
Mm-hmm.
You think it's,
I do think impact it impacts there? That for sure. Yeah. I think everybody, I don't think anybody would disagree with that. I think it definitely, when we're sedentary, and a lot of times when we're just sitting, we're looking at screens, and both of those things are impacting mental health for sure.
Yeah. So I think for us today, you know, talking specifically about running, you know, you think of all the different things that running just does physically. You know, it's good for your lungs. It's good for your arms movement. You know, it's a whole body exercise.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, for me, I don't go super fast. I'm faster than I have been, and that feels better to be able to push myself. But it's, you know, something that it doesn't matter, you know, you're only, especially as an adult, you're not comparing yourself to anyone else. You're just comparing yourself to what you can do. And so it's fun to see the improvement. You know, when I started this batch of running last fall, you know, I was probably running 12-minute miles, and now I'm running, you know, as low as 9-minute miles.
Mm-hmm.
And so to see that improvement, I think is huge. And that just tells me that like my physical body is getting stronger, not just my, you know, not just my legs or but all of it together is getting mm-hmm. stronger.
Yeah.
So we talked a little bit about why we enjoy running. I wanted to share a couple more things, and maybe you have something else as well, but just for me, you know, as someone who has struggled with depression on and off, like it just clears my head. And so it just makes me feel better. And I understand that running isn't for everybody. You know, we have one son that does not like running and two others that do. And Heidi and I do. And like, my brother doesn't like to run, but it's something I enjoy. And so while we're speaking specifically to running, I'd also just to say, you know, if you're listening, just to encourage you to find those exercises you do like.
You have to enjoy it.
You have to enjoy it.
Keep doing
yeah,
it.
If
it's torture, you're not going to stick to it.
Yeah. If you think of running only as, you know, punishment because you're screwing off in basketball practice or football, then
that's
don't,
not your thing.
You're not going to enjoy it.
Yeah.
But it might be biking or CrossFit
walking.
Or walking, Peloton bike, whatever. There's all kinds of options. And then the other reason I think I like it is just because I don't like running with other people really. I just like going out by myself. It's that solitary thing where I can just go and think, stress goes away. You know, there is the mental battle of, especially in a race, you know, I got to keep going. You can do this one foot in front of another, and, you know, making up games to trick yourself to keep going and just all of that. I just like the different pieces of it and the different aspects of distance running.
I think you also don't like to run with people because you don't like to talk when you run.
I don't like
to
talk.
Is that accurate?
Yeah.
Yeah. I talk too much when we run together, huh?
And I also can't breathe through my nose, and people don't like the way I breathe
You're
when I'm running
breather.
Next to them. And so
people,
they critique me.
Meaning me.
Yeah. This is just you. And we talked a little bit about what life is like when you're not able to run. You mentioned that just with your foot.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I said how, like, it really started to get to me mentally. And I'm not one who has dealt with depression. I've seen you go through that some, but that foot thing
Yeah, it was really,
really
messing with
started
you.
To get to my head. Like I was really, and it wasn't just I was bummed because I couldn't run. I was, but it was like I felt like it was impacting a lot of different areas of my life because it was all that I could think of. Because every time I stepped on my foot, it hurt.
Yeah.
And it just wore on me. Yeah. I think one thing that I really like about running too is this, that it's outside.
Yeah.
We have a treadmill, but I don't like to run on the treadmill. Right. I can when I need to, but I think just the being outside, being especially just nature, like we love to go hiking too, but being outside is a very peaceful and calming thing for me. Just kind of helps me to relax and let go of things and sort of focus.
I thought of another pet peeve.
While you're
sorry,
running.
Squirrel. I go to the Boise Greenbelt and I run down there sometimes. And there's people that walk and ride their bikes.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's people on electric propelled devices, like a bicycle that's an e-bike or a scooter. And they're out there acting like they're getting exercise. And they're just not. Sorry. I just don't agree.
But I think that bothers you because they get mad at the runners and walkers
and they get
for
so
being
mad.
In the way.
Yeah. And it's like, this is a path for people who are exercising over there, enjoying the day on their own power, not a man-made power. I think that's right. That's why I get mad about it.
Yeah.
I have some issues I'm working through. So one of the things I also like about running, and you know, maybe there's someone watching or listening that is not into running at all. That's, you know, totally fine. But you're like, hey, maybe I want to give it a shot. The one thing I like about it is, I mean, it's very simple to start. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the easiest form of running is just walking fast, right? And so like there's like couch to 5K and it works in walking as part of your training plan. And we actually still do that. Like my cross training days is a hike usually or a long walk.
I think couch to 5K or some programs even, like it starts you out alternating and you'll run or jog for like 20 seconds.
Yep.
And then you walk for 45 or whatever it may be. Like it has you cycle so that you can work up to running longer.
So I wrote some things down as what you need in order to start utilizing running as part of your exercise routine.
Probably not a very long list.
It's not a long list, but the first one is desire. You have to have a want to do it. Like we talked about, you can't, if it's something that's a bad taste in your mouth, probably not going to enjoy it. It's something you have to be drawn to. Number two is a good pair of running shoes. You know, when you're younger, you can run in pretty much anything. But as you get older and your feet are a little more messed up, I think it's spending the money on a good pair of running shoes over any other running accessory, I think, is the most important. It goes a long way.
Yeah. And you can go to a shoe store, like a not like a sporting goods store, but like a running store. And they'll
not Famous Footwear.
No, but like
a running special,
like
running
here we
shoe
have
specialty
Shoes
store.
Idaho Running Company,
or Fleet Feet,
or New Balance,
Bandana.
Yeah, they all have these cool computer systems that will look at your gait and how your foot plants and everything, and help them make recommendations for you.
Tell you what kind of shoe you need to get.
Yeah,
and you can get a decent shoe between $100-$150 that'll work. That'll last you a training season. And the other thing I think you need is a direction, a plan to get you started. Mm-hmm. So I always run, when I'm training for a race, I always have a plan that I follow. Right now you do not, you're just kind of running.
I just run.
And
I just go out and I run. So I kind of make it up as I go.
Yeah. So when I first started training for longer distances, I just did a search and I came across a website called halhigdon.com. Hal Higdon's a trainer. He's written books, but he has training plans, and then you can pay more and get coaching and stuff like that. And it's just like this, the one I'm doing right now, I'm training for a half marathon the end of June, and it's a 12-week training plan. And it just tells me what, Sunday's cross training, Monday's cross training, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday are run days, Friday's a rest day, Saturday's my long run. And that's just, you know, it starts off slow, lower miles, and then it builds up to, you know, where, and again, I'm not going to win. I know that. I just want to be able to run 13.1 miles at the end of June at a decent pace to where I feel good about it. But I think for someone that's new to the sport, or even someone that runs maybe recreationally without a plan, it's like, oh, maybe I'd like to try a 10K to find an 8-week training plan to run a 10K.
Yeah. And I've done those programs or made one up or modified like a Hal Higdon or something like that before. I've done races too.
Something else I've just recently found, I've used MapMyRun for a long time and really actually liked MapMyRun. And I just used a free version. I don't pay for anything more. But I just kind of got onto Strava because Shields had a 45K challenge and run 45K in 3 weeks and you were entered to win. I think a young guy from Colorado actually won $1,000 and a watch. But I noticed on there, they have other challenges with other organizations. They put out these challenges and it's just kind of fun to say, oh, I'm going to try to get, you know, run 5 miles a day for a week.
So what are, in case there might be somebody listening to our podcast, what is MapMyRun and what is Strava?
Oh, so yeah, those are just, sorry. Yeah, that's, thank you. So that was one of my next points. Well, the next one was time. You just need time in order to do your runs. Anywhere, you know, if you start out with a mile, you probably need 10 to 15 minutes. And then just working your way from there. Long runs, you know, my run on Saturday, 9 miles, just a little over an hour and a half it took. So, but then, yeah, so Strava or MapMyRun, you know, what I used to have to do was I would go on to like Google Maps and map a course that I wanted to run. And then I'd have to memorize those,
where to turn
and everything in order to get my miles in. But, you know, the nice thing about with our phones, or you can get a watch, which I do not have. I just have a Timex. I just use my phone. But they're running apps. So you just hit start and you kind of know the direction you want to go. And then it tracks your mileage for you. I think you can link them to a watch and it'll help with your heart rate and all that. But it gives you your mile splits. It calculates your elevation gain, elevation loss, and all those different things. And then it gives you, so every mile is like, you just completed a mile, you ran it in 10 minutes, 30 seconds, and then it keeps your average as you go. And so those are apps you can get on any app store on your phone. And so what I do is I have a running vest and I wear my vest, even if I'm doing a 3 mile run, and I just, cause I don't like carrying my phone. I mean, I don't like the arm straps or anything, the belts. I've found that the vest works best. And I just slide it in there and then it tells me what I'm doing as I'm going. And then, you know, if I'm on a 5 mile run, when it gets to five, I'm generally pretty close back to our house. Sometimes I'll have a cool down walk. That's what those are. Gear. Yeah. You don't need a lot of gear to get started. And a lot of that's just kind of trial and error as to what you might or may not need. Like I tried the belt, carrying water bottles. Don't like it. I really like the vest. Mm.
The belts bounce too much.
Yeah, I don't like carrying the phone in my hand. I mean, that's just some stuff I've learned the last several years. So, anything else?
No, the only thing I was thinking of is running. This is something that we always told our track kids and saw. Like, you could literally see the progression when we were coaching. The only thing you need to get better at running is to just run. Right? Like, you don't have to learn specific techniques and drills. And yes, there are those things and they can help you improve. But we would see kids come out and be the most awkward, like arms flying everywhere. And the more they ran every day at practice, the better their form got, more fluid they ran, and they just would get faster and smoother. And so,
yeah, and over the course of a season, you see that development. So some other running things, you know, there are different distances for distance running. And I just want to encourage people to run your race and to don't feel bad if you're not running the buzz race at the moment. Like, if you just have time to train for and run 5Ks, run 5Ks. If you just have time to run, but you don't have time to do races, then just run. The reason I like races is because it gives you something to shoot for and look forward to besides training.
Something else that people could do too, because we've done these a few times when our kids were littler. And when you have little kids, sometimes it's hard to get running in, is fun runs. There's lots of family fun runs and it's like a mile and your kids can do it with you. And that's really, that's a cool experience.
You know, or if your kids are new on their bikes, the kids ride their bikes and get a jogging stroller, push your kids that way. All things we've done.
And I
mentioned the different distances because, like, in the running community, a lot of people are hot on the ultra topic right now, right? Anything like 50K or more, so like 30 some miles and more, up to 100, 250 mile races. And I've talked to a lot of people and they're like just into that. Oh, I want to do an ultra. And it's like, man, you haven't even ran a marathon or you haven't even ran a half marathon. Just like, I ran a marathon and I don't know if I may run one again when I turn 50. I'm thinking I might do that, but it took a lot of time just to train for it. And I'm glad I did it. And that'll be another episode where I talk about that. But, you know, just the time commitment to train for a 100-mile race, and you got to factor in your life, your family, your job, all that stuff. And I'm, you know, the people who do those, more power to them. And I follow and listen to podcasts of some ultra runners. But I don't want to hallucinate in the middle of the night, and I haven't been called to that, I guess. So I guess the encouragement is, you know, if you're doing it now, just run the races and be okay with running the races you're running or running the distances you're running. If you're thinking about getting into it, you know, start off with something that seems manageable. You know, when you're, even with your setting out to run a marathon, you don't start out running 26 miles, you build up to that.
Yeah.
If you, you know, want to start out by running a 5K, you're not going to go out day one and run 3.1 miles. You're going to start a lot lower than that. Something else that's, you know, if you do want the camaraderie, there are running clubs. You've been a part of a running club before.
Yeah, briefly.
In New York when we lived there.
Yeah.
I haven't done that. I know in our area, there are a lot of them.
Mm-hmm. In Boise, there's a lot.
They just meet. And even in those, I mean, hey, you meet and then you go out for a run. And if someone's your pace, you run with them. If not, you run by yourself.
Yeah. And they're kind of fun because then there's like, that becomes part of your social group and go to coffee. Like, I remember doing that with the group I was a part of. We'd go to coffee afterwards and it was fun.
One of the things I really like about running in the running community, and you see this at all levels, is just the encouragement that you get. When Saturday I mentioned I went for my long run and I try to wave or give a thumbs up to other runners. That's just something I do, whether it's I'm training and there's other runners that I pass or I've given out high fives on a training run.
I think most runners do that, but not necessarily high fives, but waves.
Waves, and it's just like, I mean, Saturday I got a, hey, great job, I see you. You know, like, good morning, you're doing awesome. But I do that in my training if I'm training and there's other people around, but I also do that during races, and that's reciprocated. I think it's just a part of the running culture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a pretty cool community.
Yeah. And we saw that when we were coaching track and cross country.
Yeah.
Something that's kind of fun.
It's very supportive.
I already mentioned one step at a time, you know, just run your own race. If you are interested in races, where to find races and events, the best thing to do is just Google. Do a Google search for races in my area. There's one, Run Sign Up is a lot. A lot of races are hosted by them. There's Running in the USA, our local running shoe stores, they have calendars but you can usually, like, we're going to be in Sacramento this coming weekend. And on my training calendar is to run a 5K. So I actually found a 5K. I just typed in 5Ks in Sacramento and I'm going to be running one down there while we're out of town. And it doesn't have to be distance. We did mention Masters Track and Field. If you don't want to run,
if that's your thing,
a 5K, you can.
I think
go
that would be fun, but
run
I just
a
2 mile
or a 1 mile or
anymore.
A 400 or a 200.
Yeah,
Heidi, is there anything else related to running and exercise that we need to cover at this moment in time? I know it's a topic we'll probably mention and bring up again.
Probably because it's a big part of
it's
us.
A big part of what we're doing, yeah. And so yeah.
No, I think the biggest thing really is, and we've said it already, is, and I don't mean running, but whatever your thing is, you have to love it. Whatever movement or exercise you choose, and I don't think that's negotiable. I think everybody right, needs to be to moving our bodies something. More. You have to find the one that you enjoy. It may be yoga. It may be a Pilates class. It may be, I don't know. I mean, there's so many things. It, like you mentioned, spin class or walking, what hiking, whatever, rock climbing, find something that you love because then you're so much more likely to stick to it than if it's drudgery.
Yeah.
And you're dreading it because, oh my gosh, I have to go run. I hate running and it hurts my legs. And well, then don't do it. There's so many other options. I think that's the biggest thing.
Yeah. And I agree with what you said earlier about I think you said it about just how our body, I mean, our bodies are a gift from God and we, when we're not using them, when we're just sitting there not doing anything, we're not honoring God
yeah.
with who he created us to be.
And I think we lose some of our connection with him
yeah.
when we are not moving.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I think just from a foundational aspect, like if you want to serve God, if you want to glorify, you have to be healthy.
Right.
And so being healthy, one aspect of being healthy and getting healthy and being in shape and being in good condition is, you know, exercise. Right. I remember reading, just had this thought, Billy Graham's biography. And before he would go to do big rallies in different cities, he would up his mileage, his walking mileage every day. Just as, so he talked about, I had to be in good physical condition in order to go and do those because it was going to be such a spiritual and emotional and mental exhausting things for him.
Yeah. Well, and I think too, like when you say, what did you say? Sorry. You said that we need to be in good health. What were you
healthy
saying?
Enough to serve God?
Something like that.
I don't know.
Anyway, but what struck me when you said that is that a lot of people think of healthy as skinny.
Right.
And that's not what we're meaning. And that's probably a whole nother podcast
yeah.
that healthy is not necessarily mean skinny, but fit.
Yeah.
It's very different.
Yeah. Well, very good. That was fun. I enjoyed that conversation and that topic. And I hope if you're tuning in, one of the three people that are, that you get something out of it.
We have three now?
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't think
Who
so.
Knows? I did forget to mention I'm wearing the University of Montana Grizz hat. That's my hat of the that's my episode hat. They are obviously not a sponsor. I'm just wearing the hat. Our son, youngest son, runs track and field for them. And this week, the week that we're recording this, they are doing the Big Sky Track and Field. A conference championship is in Sacramento, California. So that's where we'll be heading the end of the week to go and enjoy that with him and to watch him and his teammates compete down there. We're looking forward to that. So we, like we talked about, we're working on a sign-off thing that we say. So we'll try this one.
Play with it.
Yeah, remember our email is thewholelifeprojectpodcast@gmail.com. And on the socials, you can find us at the WLP podcast. At the WLP podcast. So just want to encourage you to seek God, to serve your family, and to strengthen your body. Have a great week.
See ya.